Jai Vishnu Pad Paramahamsa Parivraja Kacharya Ashtadra Ashtavizama Grisa Bhajara Vedana Bhakti Vedanta Swami Maharaj Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Vishnu Pad Paramahamsa Parivraja Kacharya Ashtadra Ashtavizama Grisa Bhakti Sinatra Sarasvaita Kud Prabhupada Maharaja Ki Ananda Kuti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai Samvita Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai Nitai Gora Primanandi All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Shishi Guru and Shri Guru and Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskrityam Naram Cheva Narottamam Divim Sarasvatim Vyasam Tato Jayam Udhirayet Nashta Prayeshu Abhadrishu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Rutamash Loke Bhaktir Bhavati Nashtiki. Hare Krishna, we reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 16, verses 22 to 25. So, I read translation of the verses up to 25, although there is a purport in text 23 as well, but seemingly it's a little bit short. Then we will go to verse 25. Verse 22. This king, this protector of the citizens, is an extraordinary king and is equal to the Prajapati demigods. For the living facility of all citizens, he will milk the earth, which is like a cow. Not only that, but he will level the surface of the earth with the pointed ends of his bow, breaking all the hills exactly like King Indra, the heavenly king, breaks the mountains with his powerful thunderbolt. When the lion travels in the forest with its tail turned upward, all menial animals hide themselves. Similarly, when King Prithu will travel all over his kingdom and vibrate the string of his bow, which is made of the horns of goats and bulls, and is irresistible in the battle, all demoniac rogues and thieves will hide themselves in all directions. Here's also purport, Srila Prabhupada. It is very appropriate to compare a powerful king like Prithu to a lion. In India, Kshatriya kings are still called Singh, which means lion. Unless rogues, thieves and other demoniac people in a state are afraid of the executive head who rules the kingdom with a strong hand, there cannot be peace or prosperity in the state. Thus is most regrettable when a woman becomes the executive head instead of a lion-like king. In such a situation, the people are considered very unfortunate. So, for some reason, we'll still continue. Verse 24. As the source of the river Sarasvati, this king will perform 100 sacrifices known as Ashwamedha. In course of the last sacrifice, the heavenly king Indra will steal the sacrificial horse. Okay, so now we chant Sanskrit from the verse 25. Eshasva sadmo pavane sametya. Sanat kumaram bhagavantamekam. Aradhya bhaktya labhatam alam taj. jnanam yato brahma param vidanti. Shasva sadmo pavane samitya. Sanat kumaram bhagavantam ekam. Aratya bhaktya labhata malam taj. Yanam yato brahma param vidanti. Esha, this king, Sva Sadma of his palace, Upavane in the garden, Samitya meeting, Sanat Kumara, Bhagavantam, the worshipable, Ekam, alone, Aradhya, worshipping, Bhaktya, with devotion, Alabhata, he will achieve, Amalam, without contamination, Tat, that, Yanam, transcendental knowledge, Yata, by which, Brahma, spirit, Param, supreme, transcendental, Vedanti, they enjoy, they know. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Sri Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. This King Prithu will meet Sanat Kumar, one of the four Kumaras, in the garden of his palace compound. The king will worship him with devotion and will be fortunate to receive instructions by which one can enjoy transcendental bliss. The word Vedanti refers to one who knows something or enjoys something. When a person is properly instructed by a spiritual master and understands transcendental bliss, he enjoys life. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 8:54, Brahma Bhuta Prasanatma Nashochitina Kankshati. When one attains the Brahman platform, he neither hankers nor laments. He actually partakes of transcendental, blissful enjoyment. Also, King Prithu was an incarnation of Vishnu. He nonetheless taught the people in his kingdom to take instruction from a spiritual master who represents their disciplic succession. Thus, one can become fortunate and enjoy a blissful life even within this material world. In this verse, the word Vedanti is sometimes taken to mean understanding. Thus, when a person understands Brahman, or the supreme source of everything, he enjoys a blissful life. Om Agyanati Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshuram Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopisha Gopika Kanta Shri Radha Kanta Namastute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpata Rupyascha Tripasinu Vyayivacha Paritanam Pavanepyo Vaishnavepyo Namo Namaha Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashyatyadeshatarine Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So we see that also Maharaj Parikshit was kind of showing his humility. Maharaj Prithu, he was showing his humility and he was asking the sages and professional reciters to stop praising him. They just marvel at his wonderful qualities and they continued to praise the king, who was definitely worthy of praise. So, in these verses they describe further qualities of the king, and we see that in the previous verse 23 there's a, Srila Prabhupada, or rather sages first describe that the King Prithu would be like a lion, and when he will travel throughout his kingdom, everybody, thieves and rogues will flee in fear. And Srila Prabhupada gives his explanation that the king should be a very strong personality, and it's very unfortunate for the nation when the woman is ruling the nation. So obviously at the time of Srila Prabhupada it was the case, because Indira Gandhi was the head of government in India, and it is practically the case all the time, because we really do not see the rulers with lion qualities or manly qualities. We know that Jiva or living entity is feminine by nature. So in order to manifest manly quality, which is naturally possessed by Krishna, for the human being, even in the male body, it takes a big endeavor. So unless a person is totally selfless and protective and be able to take care of his citizens and look for the interest of the state and citizens and all his subordinates, he basically acts as female, which is seeking for enjoyment. So, mostly in this world, all the politicians taking their positions, usually not to benefit the nation, but rather to pursue their own interests. They would have some lobby behind them or some financial group who would be interested to promote their interests. So they would buy the politician very often, give him money for his promotion company, and then when this person comes to be in a position of the power, he would pursue the interest of this particular group, and ultimately his own interest, because he actually doesn't give any basically for present day rulers, wherever they be, it is not even the group which they support they need to take care of. They only take care of them because of these people take care of themselves. So basically the whole rule in Kali Yuga is very egoistic, and we see the kings, even the, it said that monarchy is the best system in Kali Yuga, or sorry, which is generally for the rule. We see in Kali Yuga monarchy doesn't prove itself to be very feasible means of rule, because ultimately the citizens become so upset with the ruler that the revolution comes up, and then you get democracy, and or in a worst scenario, when the tamaguna even more, then you get communism, which spiritually speaking would be maybe ideal thing, because spiritual beings are very selfless, and the communism, so to say, is possible in spiritual world. But in the material world, because everybody is looking for his own interests and a little bit extended interest of his family, interest of his nation at best, but why? It's just the ability to expand one's own ego. When one can expand one's own ego to encompass his countrymen, then then he will be fighting for the rights of the country. We see the, you know, great personality like Gandhi. He would be seen as a very unusual person with a very magnificent qualities. He was sacrificing his own life to fight for the freedom of his country. Of course, because he was ignorant towards Vedic knowledge, although he was always going with Bhagavad Gita. The whole purpose of Bhagavad Gita was kind of clouded for him, and therefore even his means of fighting for the freedom was kind of not really Vedic, not really appropriate. And we see that so-called leaders, they really rule, and they consider their own whims, or some sentiment, whatever knowledge they find appropriate, whatever it is in their heart which they find good, then it is the standard. Not only leaders, but rather the whole society functions by this standard. Yeah, what is the standard of our deciding what is good and what is bad? If leaders do not take it from the Shastras, citizens usually also do not. Only devotees who come in contact with the knowledge and mercy of Srila Prabhupada are trying to live according to the laws given by God. First of all, of course, our primary activity of devotional service, Navavida Bhakti, direct devotional service, but also we have so many cultural aspect interaction and so many social aspects to our life, unless we, even brahmacharis and sannyasis, they interact with people. So there are so many things which are given in Shastras, in Bhagavatam itself, so many subtleties of social dealings, of interaction, of your cultural aspects, and of course in Chaitanya Charitamrita even more, that there's a lot of things for all of us to learn. But the leader of society, you know, I don't know there's a single leader who really lives by these standards. Therefore, we have kind of, you know, democracy functions most probably as the best for now, at this moment. We see what happens when King Vena, he was a very powerful king, but he was adharmic, so he would be able to scare thieves and rogues. But because he himself was thief and rogue, then in the long run it would not work very well. So Brahmanas at that time, they saw that it's better to, they saw his qualities, but because there was no king, they allowed King Vena to be the head of state, because otherwise a lot of you know, anarchy and, you know, unscrupulous elements would flourish very very strongly. Therefore King Vena fulfilled his purpose, but in the inner course of his ruling he would also harm the Brahminical culture, and this is a thing which is very intolerable. Therefore he was cursed and killed. I mean, not only that, but he would also declare himself to be the supreme god. This is, which is nowadays not a big deal, but of course nobody's like an emperor of the world like King Vena. So there are so many different emperors and they fight for their right to be god. But at that time, Vena was the emperor of the whole world. So he was killed, but of course the world could not be without rule. So immediately from his body, King Prithu and his wife Archie came out. And then, you know, he was quickly, he was a very grown up man. So he didn't need to grow up and be educated as a king. He was Shaktivesha Avatara Srila Prabhupada mentions, and he was fully qualified, so the praise of him was not exaggeration. And the great sages who was instructed by other learned rishis and wise men were singing the praise of Prithu Maharaj, because he without fail would manifest all these qualities. Not only that, his activities were already known to them, because it's you know, it's an eternal pastime of the Lord. He comes again and again as Prithu Maharaj, or rather he sent his empowered incarnation, and the activity would be known, because it's already described in the Vedas. And Srimad Bhagavatam is not the Purana which dealing only with this Kali Yuga or this time frame. It's eternal knowledge which is, as a matter of pastime, was revealed by Vyasadeva, but it is always there. So this all pastimes and all the activities, all the events are always appear in a cyclic way in the universe, and it's very much known to those who seers of the truth, to those who know the truth. So that was one of the praise of King Prithu. And then coming to the verse which is written today, 25, then another occurrence would be described. His conversation with Sanat Kumara, and that he will be enlightened by transcendental knowledge. Of course, being a personality of Godhead himself, King Prithu doesn't need to be enlightened. Bhatia Prabhupada says that in order to show the example to all of his subordinates, to all the people, in general, he shows that it's important to take knowledge from a spiritual master, as any incarnation of Krishna does. And by this knowledge, one is able to enjoy transcendental life, transcendental bliss. So this is basically transcendental knowledge, and acting on this knowledge is the only source of happiness. Anything other than this in material world is not good enough, is not equipped to provide us with satisfaction or with bliss, because the only the source of all bliss is Krishna, and unless we connect with this source, we will be hovering in the attempts to find the bliss. There is no other source of bliss than Krishna. If we get bliss, if we get some happiness of anything else, it is just because Krishna is present there. There's some element of Krishna is present there. But because it's indirect, it cannot be long-lasting, because our means of approaching happiness or approaching Krishna are not given by Krishna, then our enjoyment of bliss, of transcendental bliss or eternal bliss, eternal happiness, is not happening. The more we live according to Krishna's instruction, not only, let's say, his ultimate instruction in Bhagavad Gita, which we try to do, but, you know, so many instructions given in the Vedas, if we follow the knowledge of Krishna in any aspect, then we will elevate ourselves to at least the level of sattva guna, as a mode of goodness, and by this we'll derive the sense of satisfaction, because Krishna is satisfied with our actions when we act according to his instructions. So therefore we feel reciprocation, and if we do not follow the Vedic knowledge but still feel satisfaction, means that we did something which is accidentally right. How long we can do accidentally right and accidentally wrong, it's mostly, as we see, living entity is stuck in the material world, even if he's following the path of karmakanda or the Vedic path, because unless this selfish desire for enjoyment as the ultimate root cause for whimsical action is given up, there will be always the impetus to fall down, impetus to give up the righteous path. Because righteous path is bringing person to understand that or act in such a way as if he would not be the enjoyer. So only so long is possible to follow this righteous path, and unless the heart is transformed, the desire for enjoyment, the envy of Krishna and other living entities will not be given up. And therefore, the bliss of life or happiness of life is impossible to experience. You know, we are unable to experience it. So we have all the means to approach this transcendental knowledge. We do approach it every day, therefore Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya, we do remind ourselves every day by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, by listening to the lectures, by being an association of devotees, about the ultimate goal of our life, about our positions, the Sambandha and Prayojana should be prominent in our life. We should know who we are, what is our connection with the Lord. This is, you know, this is the elements of transcendental knowledge, which would be instructed to King Parikshit, King Prithu, King Parikshit would be instructed by Shukadeva Goswami. Prithu would be instructed by Sanat Kumar. So King Prithu would be instructed by Sanat Kumara in the first elements of Sambada, Abhideya and Prayojana, meaning to understand who we are. So in order for us to act properly, we should understand who we are, what is our relationship with the Supreme Lord, what is our relationship with other living entities, who they are in relation to us and in relation to the Supreme Lord. That we are the Supreme, not really, we are not Supreme, we are eternal servant of the Supreme. And this is constitutional position, this is actually feminine position. If we say about male and female identity, we are female by nature and our identity is to serve the Supreme Male or Supreme Purusha, the Supreme Lord. And there's, if in any case, if we are not functioning in this capacity, then we will be unhappy because we are not situated in a natural state of a living entity. It's like a, you know, fish out of water. There's no opportunity to be satisfied and be happy. So then, knowing this, we should know, okay, I am the Supreme, I am the eternal servant of the Supreme. So what is the goal of my life? What, you know, I am the servant, what should I do? What is actually what I am to attain? And that would be prayojana, the goal, the aspiration, the priority of our life. That would be Krishna prema, the pure love of God. This is the prayojana, the goal, which if it disappears from our life, even for one day, then it's very difficult to act properly. We should see what is ultimate goal of our action and actually fine-tune or bring all our actions in accordance or in harmony with this goal. Therefore, path of Sharanagati, as Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes, Anukulasya Sankalpa Pratikulasya Vardhana. So you accept everything which is favorable for devotional service, you reject everything which is unfavorable. There is only two sins which we do, and this is the activity of the mind, because the activity of the mind is to accept and reject. And as a living entity, conditioned living entity, is driven by the desires of the mind, unless our mind will be in tune with this accepting which is favorable for devotional service and rejecting which is unfavorable for devotional service, we will be driven by other favorable and unfavorable sins, mainly what is favorable for mind sense enjoyment and what is unfavorable. Even as devotees, we understand this is not the way to go, but we have a big habit of doing it, like kind of millions of births or even more. So it's very difficult to get out of this predicament of the mind, and it is only possible by getting ourselves every day reminded about our sambandha and our prayojana, and then our abhideya, or the activity which is the dynamic, let's say dynamic element on our part, then this can be done in a proper consciousness. It can be geared from our sambandha, to understanding who we are, towards our prayojana, to understand what we need to achieve. And in everyday life, in every dealing among devotees, among, you know, if we have to deal with a world outside and so on and so forth, we will, if we have these two in mind, then we have to measure our actions always by this. No? Is it, you know, if I do something, is it then something to achieve the goal, Krishna prema? Meaning, what means Krishna prema? Love. Love and devotional service of Krishna, love of Krishna, which would naturally, the minimum of love, what you can do is to be obedient and to act pleasingly towards the person. you intend to love. You have to start to show that you are favorable. So love means you are ultimately favorable. There's nothing for you. You only live and you act towards the pleasing the object of your love. But we have to start acting favorably. And it's a very simple to say, and it's very simple to read, and it's kind of very understandable. Every time we speak about it or we read about it, it's clear, we understand this. But every time we do something, do we really think about this? Do we really conscious in our day-to-day dealings with others, in our day-to-day activities? Am I doing something to please Krishna, or am I doing something to please myself? Then the extent to what we ask this question is the extent of our Krishna consciousness. The extent to what we don't ask this question, there's two things. Either we already Raganuga Bhaktas and we spontaneously do the right thing, we are already on the level of attachment to Krishna, or the another, which is most common thing, we are on a level of sadhana bhakti, on any level, wherever we are, and then we usually find ourselves in Maya, so spontaneously we would act for our own sense gratification of to pursue my own interest in any small dealing, you know, and that would be Maya. That would be something which at this particular moment I'm not Krishna conscious. Of course, who is Krishna conscious 24 hours a day? That's a good question. Or, you know, who Krishna conscious while chanting one's japa? That would be to start with, you know, once we chant the holy name, to be conscious of Krishna and to really hear the holy name and to really pray to the holy name, to engage ourselves in the loving devotional service. That would be the start. If in this particular situation, this particular you know, very pure and very undisturbed situation, we are not able to put our mind to Krishna, then naturally in our other activities it will be so much harder even. So the most important, you know, the most important essence of all transcendental knowledge is, you know, condensed in this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra and the chanting of the holy name, which purifies our heart and allows us really to connect to Krishna and to purify our conditioned nature and let our eternal nature shine through. So this would be the main, let's say, our main endeavor. This is the thing which our endeavor, priority, aspiration should come in the first place. It's direct devotional service, chanting Hare Krishna with full attention, with full dedication, with full heart, understanding who the Krishna is within the holy name, you know, that he is not different from the holy name. And this is the only means to, you know, speak about any purification and to come to any further step in our, you know, from our sambandha to our prayojana. And if we chant without understanding this sambandha in prayojana, it's also it's still purifying. But it is proper. Sorry, Krishna said that the sacrifice done in knowledge is far more superior to sacrifice done without knowledge. So, you know, if we do something because it's our daily routine, it is still purifying. But it's like cooking, you know, with a smoke. It's a very long process. We don't understand what we are doing. We do not give our heart to it. We have many other things in mind, which is, of course, the sins which we should connect to Krishna. And if we at this moment do not do it, then they would be any activities which we think of while chanting the holy name, they would be disconnected already in the very beginning, what to say in the future. So that will be the first element. But then another element which we hear about means, should we just chant the holy name and try to endeavor there, and everything else will fall into places, and you know, I don't have to endeavor to act properly, and I have to educate myself how to deal in this world, how to, you know, the cultural aspect, the social aspect, you know, behavioral aspect of the Vedic knowledge. No, because if we do not endeavor there, then there is a danger to commit offenses. And then offenses, in their turn, would cut the root of our chanting. So, you know, endeavor is there for us on all fronts of our life. There's never time to be lazy, unfortunately. And that is the truth of transcendental knowledge. It's not only affecting our direct spiritual activity, but it affects any aspect of our life. And if we are true to ourselves, if we see how much we are happy in our life and try to analyze when we are unhappy, why it is the case, it would be always the answer that I just, in some particular aspect of our life, I'm not connecting this to Krishna. Therefore, even enjoyment of a material person, which he kind of can derive from some activities devotees cannot derive, for devotees most probably by Krishna's mercy and by dint of knowledge, it is impossible to derive practically any enjoyment out of manipulating matter. Therefore, you know, there is no other way for us as to understand transcendental knowledge, hear transcendental knowledge every day, associate with one another, speak about transcendental knowledge, which is quite a challenging thing. You know, it's usually not the case when we speak with one another. We fall into, you know, normal talk, unless we just formal saying Hari Bol and Hare Krishna. When we come together with our friends and let's see what we are talking about. We see pastimes of Lord Chaitanya, then they would just glorify Krishna and speak about Krishna, and you know, different elements of their life, they would be totally connected to Krishna. How easy it's for us, it's seem to be quite artificial, you know, if you just come and start, you know, speaking about Krishna, it's, I'm pretty sure there are some among us for whom it's very natural, and they only speak about this with their friends and with their association, but I think there's also some among us who do not do this, and we just hover on the mundane topics and plain, so that's also a scene which ultimately have to change in our life and should come more cultural and Vedic aspect in this life, that even on a social level it will be very much connected with Krishna. So that's the transcendental knowledge is not a flat thing, it's not something which is disconnected from our life. It is very vital, very connected, very dynamic, and basically, whenever we are, whatever we do, if we study this scripture, if we study the scriptures, if we understand the essence, then it revitalizes and gives sense to everything what we do. Thank you very much. If there's some questions, comments. Krishna Grantharaj, Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jaya, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jaya, Samyutta Bhaktivinoda Ki Jaya, Nityagora Premananda.